Good evening, everybody out there. Hopefully the volume is okay. All right. Well, here we are again. Guys, I want your questions tonight. By the way, let me tell you guys something. Animal migrations are beginning. Bad time. So, I want you guys to do me a favor. You guys that have possibly walking routines and other things, be careful. Be careful. Bears are out of place, and in fact, all types of predators, especially those that travel in packs, are out of place. They're not in place. They've been found in various places they shouldn't be. No place is safe, and they're out there hunting. Something is happening to the migration patterns of most predators. So be careful. There have been quite a few predatory species animals. Cats, big cats, found in places where they should not be. Right? They just shouldn't be there. And people are, many reports are coming in. And hospital visits of people who have, their animals have been attacked. And they have been attacked, stalked. So be careful with that. And one of the reasons for that is we have an entire systematic change of the earth underway right now. Right now it's underway. So I would expect anything to be normal, right? Those magnetic changes we talked about last month, they are beginning to take effect. That means your personal animals are going to be under its influence. Birds of prey, same thing. So you got to be careful, vigilant these days. Somebody said, are we talking cougars or small cats? No, big cats. Big cats are out of place. Pack animals are out of place. And just today, I believe it was... I think it was more than a dozen people were attacked by pack animals. Sure, that will make your local news in various places as it continues. Also, you guys have noticed I've been real tired the last couple days. Well, let me share this with you. It's no secret about these folks who are sensitive to Hamas and Israelis and Jews in the USA. It is very tasking. It's becoming quite heartless what people are doing. When they begin to ask for the advice of people who are supposed to be relaxing at this point, something has gone wrong. Right? Cooler heads are not prevailing. And there have been a lot of people under the gun lately. People are getting hurt every single day, every day. In neighborhoods, you name it, people are getting hurt. It is a very distasteful thing to see. Extremely distasteful. I hope that, you know, I was hoping that cooler heads would prevail. Of course, we're dealing with people who are easily influenced by particles and things of that nature. That's what we're dealing with. It is a hatred. You only read about hatred like this in history books. It's the truth. I mean hatred. And it's getting worse. Much worse. Right? Now, about 6 months ago, many probes were taking place of people who live in the USA who are about to, who are prone to emotional rotting, so to speak, in this situation. Set majority of those people were the scales, right? Now, first of all, I'm allowed to say what I'm about to say. It's no secret. It shouldn't be a secret anyway. But just so you know, I need to explain this so you guys understand. Your data is disconnected from you. Okay, your data. This was about, let's say about 22, going up to about 6 years ago. It was disconnected from you. So your data was being analyzed, but you were not. Well, in that data, people who have been here for at least 5+ years, living in the USA 5+ years, they were prone to emotional prodding. What I mean by that is anytime social media story that gained ground or possibly a headline was connected with it, people had exhibited absorption personality, which means they would easily begin to mimic anybody else who was in somewhat of a radicalized mindset, and it would begin to multiply. We're talking about Americans here, not anybody else but Americans. People also had become highly opinionated and violent behind their opinions, right? Meaning, in that data, people who were close to retirement all of a sudden became very irritated, agitated. This happened about 15 years ago. You're talking about people in their 50s and 60s. They became very agitated for no apparent reason. Well, environmental issues and influential issues from space actually lended a big hand to that. But they became very talkative and very opinionated. These opinions had started a trend, and people, you know, analyzing that data, people had become extremely upset behind differences of opinions. Where in most cases, that wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't cause a person to be upset. Due to the sheer exposure of one person to another, to another, to another, and the breakdown of these borders because of social media, it caused somewhat of a mob mentality to begin to form. So people had bought into many different speeches and articles and opinions. Now, it seems that people are radicalized behind articles or the news. And when I say radicalized, it means if Fox or if CNN, NBC, any of these major carriers, if they print an article and people hate it, they become radicalized against the elements of it, and they begin to fight each other over it. Today we face, I know they're showing on the news, college kids, right? But let me give an example of something. In the last 3 or 4 days, domestically, there have been hundreds of domestic problems in neighborhoods. People with, you know, they've been there for a long time, but now they've been fighting over this Israel and Hamas issue, right? Neighbor to neighbor. They've also been fighting over the voting issue. There have been people out there who have been, you know, they normally go out and they tell people to go vote or something like that, right? Now they're being attacked. People are being attacked, right? People are being attacked over their affiliation, whether it be Democrat or Republican. And if anybody finds out what you are, there have been people who have been killed. The murder rate is going up among radicalized individuals who do this. And so it's very difficult to handle in a situation like that where, you know, we're talking about in this country, between those who have been here for at least, who have lived here all their lives, right? Some of the people who immigrated, but no less than 20 years ago, right? So if a person immigrated here 20 years ago, and they're not of the suspected immigration type, which means they are, you know, somewhat real normal. They really like American ideologies. These people, with the rest, are becoming quite agitated, irritated, and violent behind domestic issues. Not your normal issues, right? Murders are taking place. That murder rate is climbing pretty high. The cities are going to be quite vulnerable to a lot of inner city fighting that will take place. shortly, right? And the sad part, here's the sad part. Out of the people involved in these things, we're talking about folks who have lived here all their lives, right? You would think it would be over this, especially this Jewish issue. There have been people who have lived here all their lives and they hate the Jews. They just had no platform to speak their hatred on. Now that they have social media, in the last 20 years, anti-Semitism has gone through the roof. A lot of people, they zero in on immigration. But what about the average person that lives next door? These are the folks, right? These folks are creating some problems. And it's starting to trickle out to everybody. Now, they can blame it on immigration all day. We know what the students are doing. I'm not talking about the students. No, I'm talking about the people who are supposed to have a handle, right, on their own citizenship. People who have been in this country for a long time, who should, at least respect the ideologies of this country. People who are American, right? If we took the whole foreigner thing out and threw it out the window, we would have a problem. Our murder rate is too high. It's too high. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking about the murder rate from, for example, I hate to use this language, just so you understand, Caucasian to Caucasian, right? African-American to African-American, so on and so forth, but not anybody who has immigrated. We're not talking about those from the Middle East. We're not talking about those from Mexico. We're not talking about those from, no, we're talking about domestic issues. Domestic issue and the violence surrounding people who have been here all their lives is rising. It's rising, and it's starting to get way out of control. Way out of control. Be attentive in this, because see, on the news, this is an election year, so everything is going to become political. Make sure that you are sure about your sources of who's starting what. Yesterday, it was a person who did not want any Democratic individuals near them. That was yesterday. Last week, the same thing happened with some pretty, some older people. I believe they were in their, the youngest one was 54. I believe the oldest one was 83, right? And they essentially reverted back to some teenage street gang, going against those who would do something else. All of this was surrounding President Trump going to having his trial. And so they take it upon themselves to go and hurt other people, blaming other people because of that. Right? That is the old adage. Listen to me carefully. When a person has a darkness within them, they're going to exercise that darkness and use everything as an excuse to exercise that darkness. If a person has no darkness in them, it does not matter what's happening around them. You cannot elicit a person to commit what folks today are committing if a person has no darkness in them. Be ready for those you don't think are violent to show who they truly are. It does not matter what the circumstances are. Circumstances only give an excuse for those who want to exercise these dark things, to exercise dark things. If it's not in a person, it will not come out. Sorry, it won't. So we have a big problem. It's rising. It's increasing. You know, there are big questions about this very thing. Because no one knows what to do about it. No one knows. It is something that no one has really experienced before. Kind of like what you guys are about to see in your animals. Many of you guys have some pretty docile animals. Those animals may not be docile soon. They may not be. Some, because of a certain changes, or you could say clashes, in our environment could begin to become irritated, agitated, quite mean. A natural response in the animal kingdom to an environment that is changing rapidly. You might see that. Humanity is changing. It is. I mean, fast. Having said that, the Lord did warn us this would happen. He did warn us that people would slip into a type of madness. The Lord did. See, it's not just happening in America. It seems like the same statistical data is traveling around the world. No matter what country you're from, everybody's starting to experience some sort of violent breakout from people. Something is changing within them. As believers in Christ, we understand that the basis of all things is spiritual. At the beginning and ending of this physical realm is spiritual. At these happenings that we see are at its core, its root, spiritual. That what has been suppressed for many years within a person is coming out. It's kind of like a person in their last days, in the last 10 years of life, men are becoming, well, people can't live with them. They're intolerable. They are. They're cruel, insensitive. They blame everybody for everything. It's almost like a tantrum from hell itself that people are starting to adopt. That will translate to most life on this earth. Those things in mind. Because the Lord did tell us, He did tell us, that we would see the truth of everything. And what part of seeing that truth is to see what a person really is beyond their own personal propaganda. Right? Beyond what they're projecting. To see the truth of an individual is to see what that person truly feels about everything. And since society is inducive concerning the true feelings of a person without penalty. In other words, a person can go out in the middle of the street, be a foul mouth. Nobody cares. Because society invites such. Get yourselves ready. Many who have seen this pattern before, they knew where it's heading. They know what's about to happen. I'm going to remind you, too, which is a spooky part for me, that the stone steps, in that dream of the stone steps, the people were implacable. You couldn't make peace with them. Do you not know the streets are becoming just like that? They're becoming just like that. Not good. All right, guys, I'm going to be taking your questions tonight. I know you guys have some. There are lots of things happening. I know that some people are not quite sure why. So I'm going to be taking some. I'm going to space them out, too, so that everybody gets a chance. All right? How can we come out of great tribulation in the sixth seal? When we go to heaven at the last trump is after the sixth seal. You know what? This is the exact reason. Listen, I know that a lot of people think that Revelation is out of order. I know they do. I know they do, right? We have the tools and the ability to really consider every single word in Revelation, not to change a thing, right? We can see a lot more now than we've ever seen before. Just like the book of Daniel. God said, Daniel, seal up the book. Seal it up. That means nobody's going to have an understanding of the book of Daniel until the time of the end. Well, we're at the time of the end, and now things are becoming quite visible, right? Many people thought they would be gone right now. They did. And they banked on it. They said, well, I'm not going to be here when anything breaks out. But listen, we know everybody has to. The Lord said, that day is not coming, lest there come a falling away, and that man of perdition be revealed. Think about that. The man of perdition is going to be revealed. Now, all you have to do is think of that. Wait a minute. That is the revealing of the Antichrist. He has to set up the abomination of desolation. That's how he reveals himself. He sets up the abomination of desolation, which means all of us, if we're alive at that time, we're going to hear about it. The Lord will come back and take no one until that is fulfilled. He specifically said that day will not come, lest there come a falling away first, that man of perdition be revealed. Right? The son of perdition. Right? So then the Antichrist must be revealed. And that has to happen before the Lord comes back to take anybody. That's what we're given. Now, people like to go in there and change things. Listen, it's no secret that sometimes people cannot handle certain truths. They don't want to go through hard times. They don't. And you know what? It's because they don't understand hard times. If people understood what hard times were, especially at that time, it'd be a different story, right? Be a different story. People would say, bring it on. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to serve in that time. They wouldn't be in a rush to get out. Because I can assure you of something. If the Messiah opens the seals, why would anybody have to escape what the Messiah is doing when he sat there and said, he told us, nothing will by any means hurt you. See, most people have it backwards. Before you were sincere about Christ, that's when Satan got very close to you. That's when you went toe-to-toe with the devil himself. That's when you felt most of your pain. Before you could even defend yourself, many of you were touched. But now that you've given your life to Christ and you have this serious walk, take notice of what's happened in your life. You've had things that bark, nothing bit. Correct? Because the Lord is serious. Nothing can touch you. Lest he allows it, and if he does, it's going to be for your deliverance. In which case, you have a voice in that. It's an opportunity. Here's the bottom line. Mankind has forgotten they are created. They have forgotten about the Lord their God. They speak about him. But they speak as though he did not create them. They speak as though he's external. But they owe him nothing. That they're living on their own and can come to their own conclusions. They have absolutely forgotten they were created for his purpose, for his pleasure, not for their own. And in so doing, when you have forgotten you've been created and you deviate from what you were created for and you attempt to make a paradise yourself and it falls apart, you become very hostile, depressed. Why? Because you've forgotten what life is for. Many people have forgotten what life is for. Life is not for a person to become everything they want to be. That's not what life is. Life is somewhat of a crucible. Life is a place where we learn the difference between darkness and light. Where we actually, and by truth, choose darkness and life with every decision we make. Mankind has forgotten. You know what? That's why I keep getting drawn back to the book of Zephaniah. Have you guys looked in Zephaniah 3 what God declared? What he said is so profound. In Zephaniah chapter 3. It is incredibly profound. It is both sad but profound. The calamities to come, they're not for you. They're not for God's children. That's not why God is doing what he's doing in the book of Revelation. He's not doing that to punish any of us. He's not going to punish any of us. That's what the Messiah is for. You're in the process of redemption, not punishment. Those who will be punished are those who were given the truth and still said no over and over again. Those who taught others how to walk in error. Those who knowingly turned their backs on the Creator. Those who don't want to be controlled. You know the saying that people adopted over the last 100 years? Nobody can tell me what to do. Right? If a person cannot place themselves under submission of somebody else, they're walking in full rebellion. That's what they're doing. That's why you can have one street with 28 churches on the same street, because nobody wants to cooperate and sit under anybody else, because everybody has a different idea of who the Creator is. Why? Because mankind has made unto himself gods yet again. The same thing they did a long time ago, they're doing today. Look at the average argument of Christians. What is the average argument about? I'll tell you what it is, pure and simple. You ready? One of the big arguments is, will a person suffer or will they not? People get angry if you tell them, hey, you might have to go through something, because they have forgotten that their whole life is a tribulation. Their whole life is great tribulation. I don't know about you, but my whole life has been great tribulation. How is God going to call them out of great tribulation? Just as he has been doing since the beginning. And how is that? Death. When you die, when your body dies and you continue out of your body, right? You did not die out of paradise. You came out of great tribulation. We forget about that. We're so adapted to the cruelty of this life. We can't see the darkness all around us. And if we're not careful, we're going to call darkness light. You were born in the darkness. You were born among pure evil. Yet, we can't see it. Why? Because we have to be called out of it. If we're not called out of it, there'll be no contrast between evil and good. And we'll truly think that the evil that we have in our lives is good. We did that when we were young. How many people knew they thought that something in their lives was good, but it turned out to be evil? You find that out when you get older. My point is, you don't know that at the beginning. You know that near the end. You discover this near the end when wisdom is added to you. That's when you find out about it. You don't know that in the beginning. You do not. See? Men have forgotten. So don't feel bad about that. Because there's something in the mind, right? That when you hear scripture, you also hear the words of 1,000 people who have spoken before you read that scripture. Some of these people you have trusted in your lives. You have. But I know me in my life, listen, I can respect a person. I mean, really respect a person. But I will never hinge my salvation on the words of flesh or anything that comes from flesh. I can meet the most educated person in the world in the Bible. And I'm telling you right now, I will not take their word for it. I can't do that. I have to get it by revelation from the living God. It must be spiritually, it must be confirmed spiritually within me. I have to get it from the Most High. It must match the Word of God perfectly. And then I'll take it in. Otherwise, it's going to be noise. It's just noise to me until the Lord God Almighty shows me that I can hold it. I do not want to hold the falsehood. Do you know why I feel strong about that? Because I did that before. I had a bad commander one time. He made some bad calls. I upheld his orders. Do you know that? To the point of death, literally. And they were horrible. But I upheld them. Then when I found out the full scope of the orders, corruption in that chain of command, the true agenda, it was like a huge knife slipped me in half, because all I could think about was I was willing to commit the lives of everybody under me for the sake of those men. Without question, I will not disregard the truth of my Father for any honor of flesh. It must be confirmed by him, which is why he allowed all of us, he is allowing all of us to have that internal confirmation by the Holy Spirit directly. So no one can trick you into doing something evil and saying it's good, so that no one can lie to you. Plus, we make mistakes. We speak in error, for the most part. We cannot hinge holy things upon flesh. That is too fragile. It is a natural nature of being double-minded and self-protection, right? I can't hinge anything upon that. So that means you can't even take my word for anything unless you get confirmation from your father. Haven't you guys noticed I'm very hesitant to say amen? I will not amen everything. I won't do it unless I have internal confirmation. And when I have internal confirmation and say amen, I mean amen, right? Also, one last thing. Also, if we blindly follow the words of men, then the Lord has told us there's no need that anyone teach us. And give me the shivers. We have no need that any man teach us. Do you know that? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because of the Holy Spirit. That's why. The Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh, not some flesh, all of it. All of it. All flesh. And the Holy Spirit can teach us exactly what we need to know. Now, we can hear people preach and teach, so long as they're in alignment with the Holy Spirit. That is good fellowship, right? Men can teach about what they have built, like a bridge or a computer, what they have figured out, like mathematics. But when it comes to holy things, there's much we have to take before the Lord in prayer. We cannot act on the words given by flesh alone. That's when you reach down within yourselves and you say, you got to be honest with yourself. Is it truly confirmed or not? If something is not confirmed, it's not the time to know it, right? The Lord does not want you running with it. Or it's not true at all. One or the other. When something is confirmed, it truly is good knowledge. It truly is good knowledge. But men have forgotten that they have a creator. Look at them right now. They're primarily concerned about saving themselves. And they want the world. They want the world to bend to their will. They do. Let's go ahead and face it. If anybody put any of us in a position of power, right, in view of other people, I can go ahead and tell you right now, we would then slowly conform, just like they have conformed. And if you think you would maintain, somehow you would maintain some holiness in that, then you've not been tested in that way. You cannot be just the average person and keep holiness at the forefront of your mind when dealing in these kingdoms. The Lord must prepare you. If you go out in these kingdoms like that, you can be swallowed up very quickly. We must never forget. That's why I pray for leaders. I don't want their job. I don't criticize them because I don't want their job. I already know what that job is. I know what comes with that job. I don't want it. No. I have no desire for that fame nor that money. But there's a lot of garbage that comes with that. Where your troubles end after you hang up the phone, theirs multiplies. They can trust no one. And this is every day of their lives. I guarantee you right now, President Trump can trust no one. And he's finding that out. Because he truly believed that some people were they truly supported him. Here's the truth. People support progress. Their own progress. Do you hear me? A person is not going to lay down their career, their reputation and everything else for the sake of somebody else. They're not doing that. If you happen to align with someone as they go up, then fine. You get in the way of that. They're going to drop you like a hot potato. That's the world. That's the competitive world that so many seek to be a part of. Consequently, that should never be translated into the house of the living God. Never. Nobody should ever bring that corporate nonsense, that governmental nonsense, that political nonsense into the Lord's way of doing things. See, with the Lord, nobody has to lose in order for somebody to win. In the world, somebody more than one person has to lose every time somebody else gets ahead. That's the world. Great loss comes from progress. But with the Lord, progress comes from progress. At any rate, all the kingdoms of this earth must be undone, and they will be undone. Then they will be burned. They'll never rise again. Those are the declarations of our Father. We have a job to do in these kingdoms, because the average person does not know that, do they? Even some Christians don't know that. Those are God's declarations. Everything is going to be bought to nothing. Okay, questions. Let's get some more in there. Let's get some more. I'll answer them. I don't want to talk too much, guys. I want to pry your minds. See where you're at. Let me get mixed online. You guys are stuck. How did you guys get stuck? You know, you guys are a real relief, and I see you guys talking about solar flares, but I wouldn't ask that question yet, right? The big ones are coming. Now, just in case you don't know, in the time we're in, solar maximum is early. There are normally two peaks, right, at this time of solar maximum. So you're going to have a lot of sunspots that gravitate towards the equator of the sun each and every time. But this time, there are some different things happening, right? I can't go into that tonight, but this time, this solar cycle is by no means like any solar cycle we have ever been through. It's just not. Everything is different. It is. And I'm going to do my best to make sure that you guys are prepared. I'll do that by writing in COT, everything in COT. And yes, things have been held off in COT. Yes, they have. You'll see why here shortly. Because when we hit the ground, we're running. I even held off the admins just for a little bit, because when we hit the ground, we're running. They're going to have to know what they know. I'm going to have to know what I know, so that you guys can know what you know. And when I say we have to go forward with a flawless system, that's exactly what I mean. Flawless. Flawless code. Flawless. Right? Your families could very well depend upon that. Not everybody in the world, right? Not everybody, but those of you who choose to utilize certain things on COT, it could be a lifeline. It will serve as a lifeline. It will. It will. All right. Somebody says, what is that? You guys having migraines? Somebody said migraines. I've had a migraine for the last couple of days. It happens. Somebody had a question since they were 8 years old. How did the fallen angels become fallen angels? Ah, wait a minute. Did God create them knowing that would happen? If so, why? That was from Christy. 8814. Good one. Good one. How did the fallen angels become fallen angels? You know, I had that same question about Satan. Why would God create Satan and Satan would fall? You know why that's a good question? Because it gives you insight into the nature of the Most High. You ready? Here we go. When God creates anything, He gives it free will. He does. You know, even a grapevine does not have to yield grapes. It doesn't have to. If it follows its initial directive, right? If it complies with all instructions, if matter is obedient to the one who made that matter, it will yield beautiful things, right? It yields a perfect fruit. It does what it's intended to do when it obeys. When God created Satan, when God created the angels, He did not create the angels with the ability, right, to never say no. He created everything free. Isn't that awesome? He created Satan free. And what I mean by free is He did not create something like we get a pet, right? Don't feel sad after this, but we get a pet, a puppy. And we say, ooh, I want a puppy because dogs love you. And so we get that pet. We restrain that pet to the inside of the house and he knows nothing else. And so the pet is raised in confinement. And we're the only thing that animal can see. Then, of course, that animal is going to love us because there's no competition out there, right? Because we can find it. So we give it a type freedom, but it's still confined. So we kind of form its future, right? God didn't create the angels that way. He created everything free, which is why sometimes in nature, things can truly breach or become what they're not supposed to be. He created Satan free. He created everything free so it can make up its own mind. And when Satan saw what he was, he began to compare his beauty with the Lord. His fall was because he thought himself to be more than God is, better deserving of that power in view of those angels. When he fell, he drew a third of them with him. So he was lifted up in his heart and sought to ascend his throne above the Lord our God's. Why? Because he saw himself and he compared himself to what he didn't know the fullness of. Do you know that? He did not know the fullness of the Creator. But based on what he could see, he compared himself and said, hey, I am perfect. I should surely be ascended above God's throne. He had ideas, ambition, right? And he was, by all means, perfect. He was flawless. And he fell. Now, why can't they be forgiven? Because they were created eternal. Eternal. They were created so that when they have knowledge, they don't forget knowledge. No angel forgets. They don't forget. Right? They simply accumulate. They did not have decay upon them. No spirit of decay was upon them. So anything they gained, they kept. Anytime God sent them, they were empowered, and they kept whatever they were empowered with. They grow, made eternal, which means if you're made eternal, right? Just like Methuselah, think about something. All those people who lived in the times of old, who lived 500 years, see, how in the world can a person live that long? I hear people now saying, yes, I want to live to the age of 80. I'm going to be honest with you, I do not. I didn't want to live to the age of 40. It was very difficult for me to tolerate this world, right? But think about the people who love life so much, right, that they want to continue to live on. But anybody of whom, you know, if a person's had an unfavorable life, they do not want to live long. They've seen the truth of it. But just that you have to have a different mindset to live that long. Can you imagine living for hundreds of years, you would be incredibly smart, incredibly wise. You will have seen many things. Now imagine living 400 years. What type of person would you be? What type of person would you be? Those folks you see in the Bible who lived all that time, what type of people were they? They were far, far more than we are right now. Far, far more. Right? But they lived that long. They were incredibly wise, having rehearsed many things, having seen many things that were quite refined. Whether they be evil or good, they were refined. Right? An angel is made eternal forever, without end. So they have to have a different mindset, a different essence. They have to be able to see just things we couldn't possibly comprehend. We deal with a lot of physical issues that causes us not to want to live another day sometimes. They didn't have that. Even the nature of their fights are different, right? But they do have a choice. They have a choice to obey the Lord or not. They had that choice. They could say no to the Lord at any given time and then fall like the other ones. So the angels that are there right now continue to say yes. Did God know they were going to fall? God knew exactly who they were. But listen, when you create something and give it a choice to choose, right? You may know the outcomes of any choice they make. You'll know that. So God knows us if we choose evil, and he knows us if we choose good. But in the Bible, you clearly see he's hoping that we choose good. He encourages us to choose the good. He helps us to understand what darkness and light is. And he encourages us and believes in us to do the right thing. But he will not force us. He will not force you. He won't force me. He's not going to force anybody to do the right thing. That's up to you. And if you do the right thing, right? Then why are you doing the right thing? Is he not involved in your mindset when you do the right thing? Of course he is. Of course he is. But he's not forcing us. He didn't force the angels either. So he knew what would happen if they fell, and he knew what would happen if they didn't. So based any choice they have, any choice you have, right? If it's a billion choices per person, for everybody on the face of the earth, God knows the outcome of all of them, and he has walked the path of each and every one of them. Think about that one. For every choice you make in life, God has walked the path for each one of them. He knows what you're destined for based on everything you decide, based on everything you do, based on the slightest movements. He knows the outcome of all of it. Imagine this real quick. Think of every choice you'd ever make in life. Right? And every single choice creates a new branch. Follow me on this. Right? That's a lot of branches you'll end up having at the end of your life. Right? Isn't that a lot of branches? Can you guys see that? For every choice you make, yes or no, it's going to create a branch. A branch. Every single choice. If you choose to take a breath now or in a few seconds, it's a choice. It creates a branch. That's a lot of branches per person, right? Now think of it this way. I cannot tell you why I think this. This is what I think. It's annoying. I'll say it's annoying. Anybody can dispute it, but it's my annoying. It's mine. You're not going to change my mind. Our Father, before we ever arrived, right, declared us to arrive. And first your parents. The Father exists in every branch you would ever choose or have ever chosen. And he's walked to the end point of every single choice. So for example, if I choose to stop this broadcast right now, and that's going to lead to something else. then it's going to cause me to do something else. All these are branches. So God has walked. He has walked to the end of the outcome of every single choice I would ever make. He's been to the end of it with me. He knows who I am at the end of every single branch. So for each person, it's a countless number of branches. God has walked to the end of it. He knows the outcome of everything that you would ever do. He does. So he does that for every single person that exists on the face of the earth. He's already embraced you, should you choose him all the way at the end. He knows the ending of every path, of every choice, of every single moment in your life. Listen, he actually exists in those paths. He exists there. Do you hear me? He is there, and he is right here in your life, and he's still at the beginning, right now. Right now. Right now. So, he declared the end from the beginning, right? He can prophesy anything because he knows all the branches. He's right there right now. He's at the end right now, right? He's at the moment where he embraces you, right now. Nobody else can do that but him. See, a lot of people think he's omnipresent, and they leave it at that. When I was a small little child, before I could understand what cause and effect was and all this stuff, I could see those trees. Every person yielded a countless number of branches. Every person was a tree. And every person came from part of the branches of somebody else's tree, of which God has walked down to the very end. He's already been there. Now he comes to, and when we come into the earth, right? Think of him as coming to a moment where he really slows down to intervene from time to time. He's watching every single step. It's impossible that God's not aware of every single second in your life. It's impossible he's not fully aware of it. Because he's there to hear me. But he will never force your choice. He will encourage you, and most often he'll encourage you in ways that will cause you to be victorious and learn and become wise as you continue to walk, right? He encourages you. When you're about to do something real, when you're about to take one of those other paths, he will show you what you're about to choose. God will take the time and show you the darkness you're about to choose. It may take 8 years of your life. It may take 20 years of your life. But you will see the darkness you're about to choose. And when you see that darkness and feel the effects of that darkness at the end of that, guess what you end up saying? If you truly do, if you truly are one of his, you will always say, no thank you to that darkness. I want the light. Not because of fear. See, at first you may say no because of fear. Have you noticed that when you say no to something out of fear, you have to face the exact same thing again later on in life? Have you noticed that? If you say no out of fear to anything, you face it again. Because see, your real no is going to be because you do not choose darkness. You don't want anything connected to the darkness. You begin to identify darkness and what darkness is, and you do not want to be a part of it. You then begin to understand you don't even belong to darkness. So what are you there for? Once you get a taste of darkness, that's when you find out you want nothing to do with it. And it's not because of fear. It's because you actually choose righteousness. You don't want to see a person fall. You don't. Some of you right now are in the process, right? In your heart of hearts, you get angry at people. Listen to me. One day soon, you're going to see what anger does. Some of you say, I got an anger issue. Can't get rid of. One day, you're going to see what anger truly is. You're going to know what anger is. Anger is going to have to get the best of you so that you fully are immersed and what it truly is, so that you can see it face to face. And when you see it face to face, you will say, get behind me. you will rebuke it and say, get behind me. And once that happens, it doesn't matter what takes place, anger will never be able to get hold of you again. Because you'll know what it is. See, it's when you don't know what something is. When you don't truly know what something is, it can get a hold of you. Because you will get a hold of it. You will utilize it. Right? I don't care how hungry I am. There are certain things I will not allow in my body. I don't care how thirsty I am. And this is just me. I will not consume any alcohol. Doesn't matter how thirsty I am. And here's the funny part. Do I drink alcohol because everybody else is going to see it as, you know, messed up and wrong? No. No. I choose not to drink alcohol. Because I know what alcohol is. I know what it is. I know what it is for the human body. Would I drink a glass of wine? Not on this earth, I wouldn't. No. Because I know the meaning behind wine. Wine is not something meaningless to me. Right? Somebody said, makes you mad. Nope, alcohol does not change me. I've had alcohol before. It does not alter me. In fact, it makes me twice as nice. But it does something else too. It does. You know, a lot of people like alcohol because it numbs certain parts of them. Right? For me, it can numb certain things that I've been through, right? It can amplify other things from other people to give me deeper insights into them. It does not make me mad. It makes me twice as nice. But I don't drink, nor will I ever drink. Because it alters me. That's why. I don't want the pain of my life to be numbed. See, everything I've ever been through that's been horrific and horrible, I need that. I need to be able to remember that. So that when I'm looking at a person who's filthy and dirty and everybody has turned their back on them, but I will never turn my back on them. Because I have to put myself in that person's position to see who they are. To get on their level and never be afraid of who's looking at me. So I can speak to them. And when I speak to them, I need to be able to speak to them. Not just tell them what they need to do. I need to be able to comprehend them. Now, if nothing ever happened to me in my life, and if I'm happy all the time, how in the world can I communicate with somebody who's lost everything? I can't do that. God had me go through a lot of things. And the one thing it has done was open the door to communication to a lot of people. But hardly nobody can communicate with. It allows me to see beyond the flesh. That's why I don't get angry at people. People used to walk around and say, I hate a liar. Right? I remember one time I was so scared of a certain situation. I lied for a whole week. And it ate me up inside that I lied, trying to dodge the consequences of something. But see, through that small thing, guess what? I can understand why people in life would lie in the first place. They're doing it to survive. And someone needs to go to that liar and say, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to lie. Some people lie because nobody accepts them. And somebody has to go to them who can understand why they're doing it. Go to that person and not sit there and cast darts at them. But say, hey, you don't have to lie about who you are. God loves you for who he sent you here to be. You don't have to be ashamed another moment. Somebody needs to go to these people and stop pointing a finger telling them what they already know. And begin to introduce Christ to them for real. When you go to a person who's running, and you tell that person, you don't have to run anymore, you'll end up making a difference. You point your finger at somebody, and you tell a liar he's a liar, and a thief he's a thief. What are you doing? You're doing nothing. You're pointing out the obvious. God didn't call us to do that. He called us to go beyond the flesh directly into the person to do what nobody else can do. He called us to help call some of them out of the world. That's what he did. Because he called us out of the world. Do you hear me? That's what we're called to do. That requires wisdom, strength. It requires people just like you who have been through everything. Those of you who say you have flaws, you don't even know those are your qualifications. And whom he called, he also qualified. How do you think he qualified you? By immersing you in the world. People like to present themselves as, hey, I'm the one that made it. I don't do that. Because I'm always hunting and looking. Looking for people who are stuck like I was. Looking for the people the Lord showed me that were here. Looking for the people who want the Messiah. They really want the Messiah, but no one can hear them say that because no one is listening to them. Anyway, Satan falling and the fallen angels falling. They were given a choice just like us. God was fully aware. Did they mess up his plans? No. It's impossible to do that. The Lord uses them, however. They are critical. There's a reason why God has not destroyed Satan. Why the fallen angels are bound and not destroyed. There's a reason why demons still run to and fro on the earth. There's a reason. There's a reason. They have purpose too. When we see darkness face to face and we see what it truly is, it's at that time we start to see who we truly are. And that's something. Very difficult to see who you are until you see who Satan is. It's very difficult to see what you can become unless you behold the works of a demonic entity. See, when you see evil, and you see it work, and you see it for what it really is, that's the moment when you say, I want nothing to do with that. Forgive me, Lord. And guess what? That's when God does not have to rescue you from anything. When you say, I want nothing to do with that, demons and Satan has lost his power over you in that area of life. Do you know that? When you say no to something, when you're fed up to the brim of something, when you say, that will never use me again, then every demon behind that thing has lost its power over you. That's how you overcome darkness. You don't overcome darkness by running from it or having somebody kick it out. You overcome darkness by telling it, no, I have no interest in you. That's why in the Bible it says, God has given us power to do what? Tread upon scorpions and serpents. And he's given us all power over the enemy. All power over the devil. You have all power over the devil. Because I'll tell you something, when you say no to darkness, after seeing truly what it is, who it has hurt and everything else, when you see the truth, that's the moment when you stand firm. You're not holding your head down, you're standing firm. You're not looking for an escape. You tell everything that had anything to do with that. And you say, no. Not again, not ever. Get away from me. That's when you'll have no part of it. That's when you forbid it to work around you. That's when you go right through it wherever you find it. It has no power over you anymore. That's how you're made to walk in this earth. You see that? God will get rid of all darkness at the end. Until that time, you've been given power to walk right through it. right through it. Do you hear me? Do you get a lot of people saying, well, we gotta put that darkness back in hell and this back in hell? Really? Jesus didn't put it back in hell. And it keeps popping up somewhere else. And because it's in the spiritual realm, people don't know where it's going. So God gave us power to walk right through it. And then to tell others about that same darkness. And they, as soon as they say no more, they have power to go right through it. As the truth is known, darkness has no power. In the last days, those who walk by that truth will become minimal. New doctrines are in the land, and they're teaching people how to appease the darkness. Darkness is fooling them. Darkness is agreeing with them for a moment through their rituals, and their incantations and evocations of things. But make no mistake, it has marked them. Because the same darkness they're casting out by rituals is the same darkness they end up doing the very same day. That darkness didn't go anywhere, it just agreed to hide for a moment. And when it comes back with full authorization to take whoever is not covered, in that day, men will know what darkness truly is. They'll know the torment of torments. But you are not appointed to that. You all who know Christ Jesus, who walk toward him. It's imperative you learn by the word of God, the truth of the living God, by the power of Christ in this world, never being deceived, but to pierce all veils. And that begins right now, not in the future. There's a work to be done. There's a great work to be done. I'll be back in a few minutes right here at COT, guys. Okay, everybody, somebody has an important question. If you're born in Michigan, the Muslims here, do I think there's going to be a problem? Well, first, there's already a problem. But I opt to go with a word on this. In prophecy, there's a pattern, a continual pattern. Every time somebody thought, every time somebody thought that the intruder would do the damage in the Bible, in prophecy, something else happened. Something you might want to consider. Anytime a foreign entity with a foreign belief came into a place, the scrutinizers of those foreign people became the danger. Every single time. In this case, let's take Dearborn, Michigan, for example. Let's see what's happening right now. Right now, you have a lot of Muslims in America in different places. Lots of them. On occasion, you have people who do bad things in the name of the Islamic kingdom, right? Something else is happening too. In order to see it, you have to open your eyes to humanity first. You have to know the elements for what they are. God has still given you power to make a difference. So listen to me. Try and hear this correctly. A sinner is a sinner. Christians are sinners saved by grace. So everybody begins some sort of issue. But in prophecy, when people lived in a different land, the people of that land became the aggressors due to fear and began to slaughter those who came in. If no difference is made in that place, those Muslims will be slaughtered, and you'll see it. You'll see it. I know it sounds backwards, doesn't it? I know it sounds outside of the norm. I've seen that too many times. Out of fear, murder will take place. And so the enemy you think is the enemy is actually those who have come into a land. Of course, you have bad apples in the bunch who do certain things. You do, always. But a slaughter will begin. No one will have power to stop it. And I fear it's going to spread all over the place. It's happening more and more. More and more. Because sometimes we have a bad habit of saying that a person won't change, don't we? How many people are in here in COT and somebody pointed at you years ago and said, you're not going to change? How many people endured that? Somebody else said you were not going to change. But you did. When you see another human being, despite what their beginnings are, this is the one thing you have to know. Why did God put you in a place like that? He didn't make a mistake. Do you know that? He did not make a mistake. But if God put you, if he made you specifically and put you within a family, within a place to make a difference, and you run away, no difference is going to be made, right? But as the Lord said a long time ago, whom shall I send? Who am I going to send? Who's going to go against the status quo of men and do my will? Whom shall I send? Also, sometimes we forget about prayer. You know, to date, we've had over 5,000 Muslims convert in COT. They used to be Muslims. 5,000. Do you know that? My point is, we have a lot of foreigners in this country. In fact, the whole country is full of foreigners. The whole country is. It is. Each and every individual has a different ideology. Even those who like America, they have a different idea of what America is. Look at America, look at Democrats and Republicans. We can't deny that, can we? A Democrat has a different view of what they think America is. Republicans have a different view of what they think America is, don't they? And if we're not careful, we'll begin to murder each other based on those differences. That's not why the Democratic Republican parties were started. Not for murder, but for checks and balances. There's a force among us. And humanity is becoming blind. But you're not. Humanity is. Humanity. If we continue to go blind like this, more murders will take place. In the name of politics. And that's very sad when that happens. Election years are becoming unabrasive. also a time when believers stand up. I mean, really stand up and remind people that we didn't put ourselves here. But the Lord put us here. That we have a job to do. Somebody says Secret Service making plans for jailing Trump. Again, I hate to tell you this, but 4 months ago, a member said that. 4 months ago. And then I believe before that, it was a year, that same member said something, well, not a year, but a few months before that. So they keep saying that same thing. It's kind of like a, naturally, if you're guarding someone, if you're Secret Service and somebody has a legal issue, you have to prepare for all contingencies. So that preparation, they're going to have to prepare for that, yes. Are they plotting to do that? His own personal Secret Service? No. No, they had to be ready for that. But they're going to make a political point out of it. You got to be careful during this. This is a political year. That's where you had to be careful of. This is a political year, so... But the Democrats are making no bones about it. Listen, let's be straight. They want him in jail, period. I'm just telling you what I know. They want him in jail. They're not going to stop until he is rightfully prosecuted in their eyes. And then other members are not going to stop until their plans come to fruition. Right? That takes prayer. It takes much prayer. But here's one thing you may not know. There are Russian operatives active within the USA, and you're starting to see it more and more. Somebody says, how close are we to the stone steps? Well, I hate to say it, but if you remember the dream of the stone steps when the people were all over the place and in the streets and everywhere else, you know, none of us saw this Hamas issue coming, right? None of us did. It's only going to exacerbate this entire process. If, for some reason, President Trump goes to jail, all of us know it's going to be a scene of scenes, and the people are out there already. So it's almost, to me, it's like one of those unavoidable, I hate to see it coming, because shortly after that happens, 20 million Americans die. They die. 20 million. This landmass, America's actually hit. Right? Actually hit. Now, nobody has to believe that or not, believe that dream or not, but I can't help but to see it. And big, it does. It causes me a bit of anxiety because no one wants something like that to happen. No one. But let me ask you this. Having said that, right, why in the world is it they won't stop prosecuting people? It's almost like since that dream of the stone steps, everybody's been trying to send everybody to jail, and people have gone to jail. It's been this ongoing thing. And the people are becoming more and more implacable. I hate to keep using that word. That word means you can't make peace with that person, but people are becoming more and more implacable. They won't be comforted. You can't make a peace with them. You can't. The line drawn in the sand between different things is becoming deeper and deeper. And if President Trump undergoes some sort of incarceration, you guys know and I know, it's going to set this country on a tipping point. Anger, right? Because keep in mind, you have at least 60 million people who believe that America is lost right now. Lost. 60 million people who believe that America's lost. How do we know this? Because 71 million people are supporting President Trump and his interests every single time. comes up with something. 71 million people begin to interact by way of support for his things. So he has a strong support base. But they also have a general consensus that America is kaput, that the justice system is kaput, right? So if you are if you're a Republican and a conservative, and you've been watching events for a long time, you could easily, truly, honestly believe that very deep corruption is in the whole system, and that something drastic is going to take something drastic to make a change. It's almost like they're holding on to things tooth and nail, right? Nothing has been able to make a difference one way or the other. And we're looking at, what we're really looking at is no compromise, folks. Not one side getting together with the other one. But we're looking at somebody's way being established and the other side totally being squashed. Whenever we get to this level in history, every single time we get to this level in history, something happens of magnitude so great, that it really turns everything inside out so everybody can see it and examine it. And then all of a sudden people say, well, we don't want that anymore. That's out of our systems. In my opinion, in the Bible, right? When tidings comes out of the east and out of the west, who do you think is still standing in a world that's ruled by some sort of Islamic rule, right? Who do you think is left that's actually going to fight the Antichrist of that time? Us. The West. So listen to me. I personally believe that we're going to have a moment of correction. We are, which is why Israel will have no ally for 3.5 years. We're going to have a moment of correction. We're going to go face to face, toe to toe, with some of the darkest things that we have inside of us. All these things that have been splitting us apart. Because God does not establish something for nothing. Listen to me. God doesn't establish something for nothing. Yes, we had evil people that came into this country and tried to usurp it at its beginning. But in truth, this country was established to get away from a monarchy, somebody who could rule both the government and a faith. This country fought to get the scriptures. This country did. If not for America, nobody would have had the Bible. Do you guys know that? If not for the United States of America, no one would have had the Holy Bible. No one. Do you know that? Yes, we've had people come in and do this and do that. And we've gone through moments where slavery was in this land and everything else, but that wasn't everybody. These are the natural things that people work out when you have so many different types of people with different ideologies and different backgrounds and different cultures. When they're coming together, they have a lot to iron out. It took us all this time to iron it out. Now we're ironing out the last pieces of it. The systemic issues. When these last issues are worked out, I believe we are the tidings out of both the East and the West. That's what I believe. We're going to be a totally different people. Plus, when the Lord establishes something, right? Because you may not know this. Do you not know that the order of the founders, a lot of people say, well, Illuminati, or they were Masons. Well, you know there were three types of Masons in this country. You do know that. There was a type that was foreign. There was the underground Masons, right? The underground ones. Those were the ones that were doing secret things that were easily overruled by the Illuminati, or overrun by the Illuminati. But you had an order that was away from the Templars and everybody else, and all they wanted was to construct something that would serve people and to do it right. That's why the founding fathers spoke against slavery during a time of slavery. Think about that. That's why they spoke against hostilities during a time of hostilities. Think about that. They had just exited a war. So they knew what the pain and the cost of war was. Think about that. People kept coming. Yes, some people stirred trouble and everything else. But then they said, we must educate people in the Bible. If we don't have God's word in this land, and if a person is not educated with God's word, they're going to be usurped. It'll turn back into a monarchy. Do you guys know that? And so these colleges out there, do you not know they taught the Bible in these institutions? Do you know that? That was at the beginning. So yes, they did that. Yes, there were bad people involved. But God did that, right? God did that. Now follow me on this. Every time God initializes a place, and that place gets usurped and turns evil, God will then purify that place. Israel, the same. How many times did Israel fall? How many times did God's people mess up? How many times did they just go off and worship another god? They even threw their children into the fire to please a god. Did God renounce them? No, he did not. Why? Because when God adopts someone and washes them, he didn't do it for the moment. No, he has a purpose behind it. A purpose. You know how everybody says, well, I don't believe America's in prophecy. I do. I do. It's the youngest of all the countries. And the Bible speaks about a country that's very young. Yes, it does. A young country. It does incredible things. See, I believe in the Word of God. I know everybody had their saying about things, but then there's you. You're in this country. How many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what I'm seeing more and more? Many people are loving the Lord outside of this populist way of thinking. See, some people act like they love the Lord so they have dominion over other people. But I see many of you in this country. Many of you. And people have turned against you. People did not get you. You did not quite fit in, but you do love the Lord. That's not some accident. You've been preserved. And how is it that all of us had just about all of us had prophecy in us from birth? You guys do realize right now we're together, we're in fellowship because we have some common thread. We have a real belief that things are going to turn out God's way and not the way everybody says it is. We had that real belief when everybody was saying, oh, yes, things in America are going to get better. We didn't buy that one. We even tried to think like everybody else did for a time, didn't we? I bet you all of you did that. All of you went out there and tried to be a Christian like everybody else. And when you did that, you started to die inside. You were not alive. You were just following a routine. Not until you went back to prophecy, not until you started, because God gave you the eyes, he did, to see these weird things all around you. You notice what nobody else can. You get captivated by what everybody else passes up. If a weird comet flies over, you wake up and look at it. Nobody else is. Nobody's looking up like that. If a volcano blows up, and everybody else has that standard, you see something weird with it. God put that in you to notice those things. He did that. You have an alarm clock in you. You have to suppress what you truly think when you're having conversations with other Christians. And the truth is, you don't agree with the entire narrative of what everybody else is saying. You know something on the inside you cannot share with everybody else. You tried it, and they did not hear you. Things are coming to pass, and the same ones that did not hear you act like you never said it. You think it's an accident? You're in this nation, in America, of all the people I've ever met in my life, and I've been to just about every country on the, I've been to every country on the face of the earth, it is American Christians who are the most peculiar. Do you know why? Because of our heritage. See, when you're from a different land, you, they have a heritage that goes back thousands of years, not us. We're raw to a degree. Fanatics for Jesus. Not ruled by certain stipulations of culture. Uh-uh. No. So you know what that means? The Lord can work freely through us. Each one of you has an assignment against you in your own families to shut you up from time to time. Haven't you noticed that? Uh-oh, did I hit a soft spot? That means when you have an idea about the Lord, somebody comes along and says, shh, no, it's not that way. It's not that way, right? So the way that you had in you from the beginning, there's somebody in your circle, close to you and your family, they're assigned to you to try and halt it. Because Satan knows what's in you too. And he knows that what God put in you is true sight. That's why you have an assignment. But guess what? Don't feel bad. Because all they did was help you to preserve it. Because when it does come out, when it really comes out, it's going to catch fire. And the Lord doesn't want to catch on fire too soon. Remember in the Bible when he said, when he talked to those people who found some things out, and he said, who told you to flee? I'm going to paraphrase, from the coming disaster that's going to consume you. Who gave you the warning to flee? You're to receive no warning. Do you remember that? Jesus said that. See, if you speak too soon, somebody might believe you. Somebody who's not supposed to flee, who does not love the Lord, might actually believe it. It's just not meant that way. So all these assignments have done nothing else but preserve you even further. But have you noticed? Those that are assigned to you, they're getting ammunition of a different type. In other words, you're not their target. They're finding it very difficult. They're finding it difficult to navigate the world. The world is becoming very confusing. Soon it will be overwhelming. See, the Bible's not playing when it says men's hearts will fail them for fear for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. All of that, all these things that are coming upon the earth, all of it are not monsters and creatures and meteorites. They will not be able to endure what's about to unfold before them. Do you know why? Because they believe in their own narrative. They're experts on how everything is going to unfold, and they left nothing to the living God. They left nothing. See, mankind wants to know everything. They want to control everything. And when they can't control it, they don't know what to do. It's kind of like a rich person. What would a rich person be without their money? What would they be without their reputations? You're going to see some of that too. You're going to see a stark change in them. See, I know some millionaires. And you know what? Most millionaires, they continue to tell people they're only nice because they can get what they want and because they still have their money. There's a multimillionaire that told me that most of them stay awake at night with strategies. And I said, about what? He said, about how not to lose what they have. That's what they think about on a daily basis. How not to lose money. What kind of life is that? Because money is their identity. They don't know how to rely upon the living God. They don't know how to live on the land. They don't know what it is not to have a type of power in a country. They don't know that. They've never been there before. They can't live like that. They can't. The Lord had different plans for all of you. That's why you had such ups and downs. And just now, just recently, people are starting to see the balance, what the Lord was doing. He prepared you. He prepared you for this time in truth. He did. He really prepared you for this time. So, this country is highly purposed. It's just not going to include the people that tore to pieces. A country is not a landmass. A country is the people in that landmass. And guess what? You are this country. The leadership is not the country. The people are the country. The leadership is fighting. Just as the Lord sent enemies against each other in times of old. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, is he not? Of course he is. Okay, I totally forgot what the question was, so let's go to another one. I got carried away. Is climate change going to happen soon now for control? No, well, listen, guys, I know that there is, you know, men tamper with things, right? They try things. In World War II, they were trying to hide ships, and they came up with chemtrails. Do you guys know that? They started spraying in the oceans, over the oceans, that turned into chemtrails. Then they began to spray reflective material because of some advisements that started in Russia, right? Then they had a living computer. Most people don't know about that. HAARP is tied to a living computer. I see no feedback, so that means most people don't know about that. Yes, there are papers on that living computer. And there are papers on HAARP, too, in complement to that living computer. And those who maintained the equipment and HAARP were given instruction for certain experiments, but they had no idea of the truth of that experiment. Every time they started to heat the atmospheres, right, it would cause the aluminum particles in the atmosphere to reflect infrared back down to this living computer. And they would have a living computer, right? The reason why they called it that, it's because if anything moves on the surface, they could see it on a spherical set of CRT screens. And that was by infrared. That was a long time ago, too. We're talking about World War II, post-World War II technology, right? And so they sprayed some more to get the highest reflectivity rates. Well, when NASA came along, after they got those folks in paperclip, they had an advisement because of the sun. Remember those folks in Germany, they worshipped the black sun, right? So they learned all about the black sun. Then all of a sudden, they actually started getting these solar readings, and they understood about dark prophecies. And so over here, they knew we needed protection from the sun. Do you guys know that we're shielded from a high percentage of the solar rays coming through? Maybe you didn't know that. You didn't notice the permanent haze around this planet, did you? We have a permanent haze around this planet, and it's starting to deplete. When it depletes totally, the temperature's going to go up about 15 degrees everywhere. Did you know that? Did you know that? See, they messed up. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. But because they did, they put off something that was happened earlier. The Earth would have responded and cooled everything down, but here's where they messed up. When they started reflecting the light of the sun back out into space again, right, they caused the entire ecosystem of the Earth to begin to alter. Think of it this way. Think of a person taking they wrap their food in foil, right? And they cut their oven on 500 degrees. Right? So they're like toaster temperatures or whatever. And so what they do is they wrap it in a bunch of foil, stick it in the oven so that the 500 degrees won't burn up what's in the foil. Right? Won't burn it up. And let's suppose it's a bagel. Right? Now, all they had to do was not put it on 500 degrees. And they could have cooked it normally, right? But because they put it on 500 degrees, temperature of that oven is going to be pretty hot. Now they have to have the foil, or they're going to burn up the contents of their in the stove. Well, they did the same thing here. And if they wouldn't have sprayed a thing, right? Ice would have melted in certain places, evaporated, went through a premature process, small heating. We'd have had a couple seasons of heatings, but everything would have normalized. In other words, the Earth would have reshaped itself to reflect some of this excess heat. But because they shielded the Earth from the heat, they postponed everything. So now we get all the melting all at one time. Now we're getting all the weather phenomena at one time because they're losing a percentage of what they sprayed over the years. See, in the upper atmospheres, things can stay in the upper atmospheres for a long, long time. But they messed up. Something is up in the upper atmospheres dissolving the metals, the heavy metals. They didn't count on that happening. But it all goes away, and it will. Temperatures are going to rise so fast on the Earth, it'll make your head swim. But we do have external problems, too. See, we have multiple problems. It seems like everything mankind touches or tries to fix, they make something else worse. Because they don't know of all the systems, right? You guys remember when they said milk is good for you? And then about 20 years later, they said you got to cut back on your milk intake. Then when everybody cut back on their milk intake, they had all those vitamin D deficiency issues and K's and all that stuff. And then they told everybody, hey, you're going to drink your milk again. Same thing with coffee. They said, well, it's not good to have coffee, so half a cup a day is sufficient. And then about when cancer broke out and people's scores went down, they said, hey, you can drink as much coffee as you want. Coffee is good for you. You remember that? Remember that commercial Got Milk? You remember the Sweet and Low? They said, ooh, this Sweet and Low stuff is good for you. But people found out that was embalming fluid, right? Embalming fluid activates at your body's temperature. So they were slowly embalming people. And indeed, the health crisis began. Then they came back and kind of, you know, swept all that under the carpet. So every time they come out with a fix or some new thing, they don't know enough about what it actually interacts with, right? And when they don't know enough, they start messing something else up, which is why a lot of people who take prescriptions have another prescription to offset the first two. Then they have to take another one to calm down the effects of what the other one caused. Then it keeps going and it keeps going like that, right? Well, there you are. So, climate. Climate is destined to get pretty bad. In fact, no green thing is going to be left for a time on the face of this earth. It'll be like a big dust bowl. But at that time, we may not be alive for real at that time, right? The climate will continue to get worse. But here's how you'll know is they didn't do it. You ready? Because it's going to scare them to death. And they will have no contingency for it. It's going to scare them to pieces. And they will have no contingency for it. That's when you know they didn't do it. And their hearts fail them for fear. Because they know it's coming. That's when you know. And there you are. Okay, more questions. Let's hurry up, guys. I'm running out of time here. Why would anyone who follows darkness not be scared to death of their eternity? Well, darkness speaks. Right? Somebody says, why wouldn't they be frightened of darkness? Why not be scared of death in their eternity? If Satan is smart enough to deceive so many, yes and no, he won't be God. His fate is sealed. Why do they continue? Just like a murderer, right? A person who is evil and is bent on murder will continue to do so even when he's being killed himself. He just wants to murder. Never try to understand the mind of darkness. Satan is on death row, and yes, he knows it, right? But when people are evil like that, they're eaten up with it. Evil blinds you. Evil makes you deaf. You can no longer see the truth. you can no longer hear truth. Never expect somebody who is immersed in evil to hear the truth. Never expect them to see the truth. You can pray for them. God can intervene. But listen to me carefully. Would you tell a blind man, hey, let me show you something? You can't do that. Would you tell a deaf man, hey, why don't you listen to what I'm saying? You can't do that either. So when you are steeped in evil like that, right, people become deaf and blind. You guys, all of you have faced this. You have argued, listen, have you guys ever talked to a person and you're trying to make peace with the person and everything you say makes the person mad because they heard something else? And the more you try to make peace with a person like that, the worse they get. Right? It's the same thing. Many of you have been in that situation. Many of you have tried to say, I'm sorry, and you just made it worse. And they don't hear that. They start hearing other things. And you're looking at them like, where did they get that from? Who are they listening to? Because something else has their ear. Right? Now, it's funny because after everything is over, after the argument is over, right, all they remember are your offenses. And have you ever noticed when you were angry, you only remembered what they said against you. You never remember what they say for you. That's what anger can do. That's what darkness and evil does. That's what it does. So remember that. Someone said, do any other countries support Israel other than America? Or do you mean supporting Israel financially? No, no other country supported Israel. And once we are compromised governmentally, right, we won't support it either. That's a sad day coming. But I want to say something about that. It's the only way the Lord can let us know that we have to trust in Him. He's going to have us be betrayed by what we trust. That's not Him. Remember that. I'm telling you that tonight. Whatever is not the Lord in this country, the United States of America, is going to betray us. That will happen so that we will never trust to our own doom again. It must betray us. If you can remember that, you can help others when that time comes. When it's over, no one will be foolish enough to put their trust in flesh again. But they will surely entrust the future of this place, in the hands of the Most High. The betrayal is on its way. All right, folks, listen. We'll get some more questions tomorrow with a very, before Pastor Paul comes on. Well, let's say it this after. No, not after. Well, potentially after. After we get done. I may have to have a slight conversation with everybody. You know, I truly do want you guys prepared. And sometimes it's very hard to, it's very difficult to talk about certain things now. They're different than they used to be. Right? They're different. They're very difficult to believe until they take place. When they take place, however, it's going to leave most people speechless. They won't understand how. It'll be deeply felt all over the place in many different nations. But it's also the beginning of a process that I hope that you guys understand. So, I may have a little talk tomorrow. Remember that about your animals at the beginning of this conversation. Remember that. And these packs, these predators. Please take note of that. Please take note. Just be vigilant. Right? Be vigilant. That's all. Right. Somebody says, how do you get on the COT chat? We'll get you in there. If you make sure you have an account with COT. And we do that by batch file. Now, I'm coordinating our next batch with some of the updates, okay? Because we're strained on bandwidth. We're strained. And we have, what do we have? 158 more church requests to use chat rooms. And so, you know, that's a big plate to fill. So, that takes up, guys, that's what part of the issue is, but that'll be solved once they get the fiber in. They did not get the fiber in. That whole thing had to be redone. But hear me on this. It will take for every, I'd say about every two churches, probably take about a gig of bandwidth, 1 gig of bandwidth per day, right? That is the stream, that's the speed, 1 gig. Not the space, that's the speed. Right now, we're operating, we're providing to about 300 churches right now. And all of them are on minimal, chat room speeds. The only way we can keep up with that is with fiber accounts. So we have to have fiber accounts to keep up with that. Okay? So I've ordered the fiber accounts so we can take care of that. What the fiber does is it allows us to continue to provide that service because it's growing. It's more and more people are starting to find out about it, and it's growing. And so we have a lot more applicants that we have to, we have to process. We're going to continue to do that for the kingdom so that communication is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And with chat rooms that are Christian-based chat rooms, not corporate, Christian, without the compromises, right? Which means we come up with all the tool sets and filters and everything else for Christians, right? Not for creeps, for Christians. And so we provide that free of service. For us to do that, that's a lot of bandwidth per, per set of churches. And so with the Lord's direction, that's what we're doing. We'll do that to the best of our ability. A lot of time goes into that. And lots of time goes into that. But that's where we are. And so with the fiber, we should be able to and to get them some decent speed with the chat rooms because some of them are capped right now. That one place has, I believe they have 30, 40,000 members or something like that. And on their chat room, this is in Europe, their chat room sometimes will fill up with about sometimes 20,000 people. And it takes up usually what 10 churches would normally use. Well, we can't do that. We've got to figure this out as we continue to go forward, right? And so fiber is going to be the answer for us. Fiber is, it's pretty unique. They bury it. So it's flexible, right? It lasts longer than cable. But it's out there and it's at a reasonable rate. And so that's what we're going to get. We have an appointment for May. It was supposed to be this month, but now it's for May. We had to push that out a little bit for May, and they'll start the fiber in that direction. Having said that, just keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer because just keep praying for the most part, right? Because anything like that announced to explain to you guys, well, then the opposition knows it too. And believe me, the opposition will work to shut it down quickly. COT has enemies, by the way. We do. We have some enemies, that's for sure. So, just keep praying. Keep praying for the most part. Be guided by the Spirit. Once we get that fiber, we're going to post a lot more things to our website, right? I had to be careful posting things to the website because, especially like the KD files, right? That could really shut down some chat rooms because we have it all consolidated. We've got to start separating, right? Just like for me, the audio, that needs to be on a separate antenna, period. So we're doing that too. We're going to get another antenna transmitter so that we can have that, right? That's why sometimes we stay operational when the whole area goes down. COT has been known to be operational, right? We're also a critical backup for helping out two communities right now, and that will spread. Because as I said before, you guys remember when I told you to know your exit strategy for your specific towns. We've been contacting quite a few counties in the USA. And some people we have coordinated so they can work together with each other to get exit strategies, because fires are coming. The fires and the water is coming. It's coming. We're going to be facing those challenges. So having those things is going to be critical for you guys. And if we're going to have those at the website too, so that regardless of where you are in the USA, you'll be able to get that by location data or whatever you enter in to see what the plan is for the specific town, city, county you're in. I think that's very important. More people die every single year in these fires because they don't know how to get out of the place they're in. And that is a tragedy, right? It's a tragedy. So to know that is a big deal. Two of these counties who lost 500 people in 2022, they said that the first responders and the police had the manuals in their trunk, but they weren't even familiar with the exit points, and that's not going to work. Right? It's not going to work. Somebody says, question, is the tribulation 7 years or not? We can cover that by reading. I never put a number to that. There's a reason why. I have to share with you by reading why I never put a number to it. Right? Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just that I never put a number to it. Never put a number to it. See, because saints have a lifelong tribulation time. They have to endure. If you were to ever read that scripture, it may change your mind. To know that saints have a lifelong tribulation factor to deal with, right? But Israel itself has to deal with a set of circumstances that nobody else is going to deal with. When you make that separation, you start to see it, right? You really start to see it. Remember, God's people are blinded for a time, but they're going to be fully restored. It's how we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Through the Jews being blinded, but their sight is going to be restored. Nobody else has been blinded but the Jews, right? God will not step foot anywhere else but one place. The Messiah died. He didn't die all over the earth. He died in one place. And so you have to rightly divine the word of truth too. And when we read it, you'll see it. You'll see it. You'll say, ah, there it is. When it says he will wear out the saints of the Most High, you have to define who those saints are. Right? Read it together. We'll study that together so you can see it yourselves. That's why I don't use those numbers. You guys have never heard me use that term, 7-year tribulation, have you? And there's a reason for that. It doesn't make me right. The word is right. It didn't make me right. I just haven't used it for a specific reason, but we'll cover that. Folks, I want to say God bless you. I'm going to go. I'm going to see you guys tomorrow right here at the Council of Time. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for your time again. Here at COT. God bless. You guys take care of one another. I'll see you guys next time right here at COT.